You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Let's see some hustle.
Coach, we don't have whack bat where I'm from. What are the rules?
There's no whack bat on the other side of the river?
No, we mostly just run grass sprints or play acorns.
Huh. Well, it's real simple. Basically, there's three grabbers, three taggers, five twig runners, and the player at whack bat. The center tagger lights a pine cone, chucks it over the basket, and the whack batter tries to hit the cedar stick off the cross rock. Then the twig runners dash back and forth until the pine cone burns out and the umpire calls hot box. Finally, at the end, you count up however many score downs it adds up to and divide that by 9.
Got it.
Go in for Ash. Substitution! Ash, come out. You need a breather.
What? Come out?
What? I still feel good, Coach. Let me finish this eighth.
No, no. Come on. Step out. Step out. Let's go.
Terrible gibberish. Splintered memories looming up out of the time fog. Just press play.
Tonight, any protester, any instigator, or agitator will be made example of.
This system make of us slaves, without dignity, without debt.
We'll make you a millionaire while you're sitting here from 1 minute to the next.
What else would I do with myself?
So what makes you so high and mighty? Will you tell me that? Didn't you ever try looking at your own eyeballs in the mirror?
Why not me? Why not? A guy can get anything he wants as long as he pays the price.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Welcome to episode 171 of Cinema Crespediso. It is me, your host, Chris Crespo. How's it going, guys? I appreciate it. You're all so cool. Thanks for downloading. Welcome to Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Thanks for downloading and listening. You guys are the best. Joining me again is the co-host, co-producer, Drew Cogburn. Drew!
What up, dude?
How's it going?
Actually, here we go.
Boo, Drew.
It says booze, but they're not, it doesn't sound like they're really booing.
Well, they're not saying Drew.
I was hoping it would sound closer to Drew.
No.
Boo.
Yeah, Liss. Well, Liss, he can't get by. He can't get around Liss. Or straight up hissing. Did I say Liss?
I know what's on your mind, Chris.
Florida Film Festival. One more movie to go. We'll talk about that. We've been doing Florida Film Fest
time
movies.
Stops, Chris.
Time stops.
Time stops.
We'll talk about that later. We've been doing Florida Film Fest movies all week, and it's been a movie-packed week for sure.
My brain is fried from movies.
This guy is brain-fried. This is your brain. This is your brain on movies.
Any questions?
Are you going to eat that egg, or are you going to throw it away?
No, I'm going to eat it afterwards.
I got a piece of bread here.
Yeah.
I go for English breakfast. Throw some beans on it. Undercooked soggy bacon.
Maybe some bangers.
As greasy as possible.
And a roasted tomato.
I guess I could do that.
You don't have a choice.
It's like a lot of acid. I guess it's got to cut through
all the grease.
Yeah. Brutal. Yeah. Brutal. English breakfast. Good stuff. Shout out to our UK listeners. You guys are great. I hope you're listening to the show while you're enjoying your bangers, your breakfast bangers, and your Earl Grey tea. And what else do they like over there? And your Beatles and the royalty. And
they don't brush their teeth.
That's an old stereotype. They do now.
They do a lot of cocaine over there.
Do they really?
Oh, okay.
They call it Charlie.
Chris, it's so bad.
Is it so bad?
It's so bad that...
How bad is it?
The London water system, tap water,
yeah,
test positive for cocaine.
Oh, how is that even? What, people are just dumping it down in the water? Why is that happening?
No, because everybody's peeing it all out.
Oh, okay. Secondhand cocaine. Gross.
Mm-hmm.
Secondhand.
And then it gets filtered through. Yeah.
So it's Earl Grey tea and secondhand cocaine?
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
That's a crazy lifestyle to live over there.
Amen.
Well, if that's not true, you can let Drew know at antihero419 on Twitter.
And I may or may not care.
But he's going to be like, what is this? How does Twitter work? And then he's going to go about his day because he doesn't give a fuck.
Pretty much.
That's how much opinions matter, I guess. That's what happens when everyone has an opinion.
I mean, yeah, opinions are like assholes, dude. Everyone's got one. Yep.
And they stink.
Most of them.
So some assholes don't stink?
No, I'm pretty sure all of them do.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go then. That's the equivalency. What are we talking about? So welcome to the show, guys. We appreciate it. We're just hanging out here. Like I said, yeah, like Drew said, brain maybe a little bit fried. Since last Friday, I keep adding it up and I keep forgetting the numbers. Since last Friday, I've seen about 15 movies.
I've seen at least one movie a day.
You've seen like 11 or 12.
And then a couple of days, I saw two.
Because I saw three. We both saw three last weekend.
Yeah.
And then I saw two for the film fest. And then between Monday and Friday, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 movies.
Uh-huh.
Two more yesterday, 8, 9.
Yeah.
And then there's one tonight that I really want to see. That'd be number 10.
You have fun with that, buddy.
It's going to be a great one.
I am going to set this one out.
It's going to be a great one. I'm looking forward to it.
I need a goddamn day off movies.
That would be, you got it starting tomorrow. There's no movies tomorrow.
Starting today.
Yes, sure. I mean, it's the home stretch. But anyway. So if we get a little more rambly than normal, blame it on that.
And, you know, the booze.
I guess. I mean, I just cracked it open. I've had 2 sips. I can change that. 3 sips.
I should drink some more.
Good stuff. All right. So let's get the show started. We got to do the old... I got water on my... I got to fix that. Here we go. Let's do the old Netflix pick of the week. Drew knows how that's done. First, we got to do the theme song.
For the entertainment that you see, time for the Netflix pick of the week. The Netflix instant pick of the week.
And then Drew gets us going with the Crest Police Randomizer 9000. Lets us know what is this week's Netflix instant pick of the week. Drew.
Chris,
your thing.
This movie is from
2015. Oh, so it's fresh. It's fresh.
It is 1 hour and 42 minutes.
1 hour. So it's not too long.
And it's rated R.
That's for the kids.
It's a comedy, drama, crime drama.
Comedy, crime, drama. 15. It's an indie type film then.
Oh, yeah.
Low budget. Is there even a star in it?
No. Well, kind of. But how about this? But not in a starring role. I mean, they're in the movie.
Sure.
Sometimes.
Okay, comedy, crime, drama, 2015. That's fine. Why is it so? Why is it still so wide open? What could it be? 2015. All right, give me the other thing. Give me something else.
I can do this. Hang on.
Read.
It's starring.
I was gonna say, read one of the user reviews.
Starring Shameik Moore, Tony Revolori, Kiersey Clemons, Kimberly Elise, Keith Stanfield, DeAndre Bonds, Roger Gwenver Smith.
That's
Forrest Whitaker, and Quincy Brown.
That's Forrest Whitaker, not a drama. Taken 3. No, it's not. It's a joke. I would never make it.
It's directed by Rick.
Why is this?
Famuyiwa.
I don't know why. Oh, this is
Four Letters.
We saw it. We talked about this movie plenty of times.
Yes.
You know what threw me off?
Can you tell me what the name of it is?
I can. First, I'm going to tell you what was throwing me off.
Uh-huh.
The whole crime drama part.
But it is.
If you told me...
But it is.
It is, yes. But if you told me teen drama.
Yeah, no, I...
Or coming of age or
hey,
something.
Hey, man, I'm just...
But you read what's there. They have crime drama.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting. We're talking about Dope.
Damn straight.
Dope is a great movie. Dope is a awesome, very cool coming of age movie. We saw it, it came out last summer.
Yeah.
Right, just before last summer, I think. And it's a type of movie where it debuted at like Sundance last year. Made a big splash.
Yeah.
Bidding war.
Mm-hmm.
Someone got the rights.
I mean,
put it out that summer.
Like you said, it is a coming of age movie. It is very much up there with like, I'm trying to think what kind of movie
it is. It's kind of like a LA hip hop John Hughes movie.
But mix a little bit of Friday into it.
Mix some Friday into it, like a little bit of Spike Lee into it, maybe, you know, because it got a little bit of social commentary in there.
A lot more than a little social commentary, Chris.
And he's talking about that, also the love of hip-hop, a very specific type of hip-hop and stuff. It's like a type of thing where it's like, here's a very specific experience that is, you know, now we recognize all the universal things that happen by going that route, that type of thing. It's good.
It is. It's really good.
Damn good. Awesome. Dope. That's a dope pick. So excited.
It took me about 10 minutes to realize the movie wasn't set in the 90s.
Yeah.
Because it started off with 90s music, and they all dressed like they were in the 90s, and then all of a sudden they would put their smartphones, and it's like, whoa. Yeah.
And then they talk about bitcoins, and it's like, oh shit, this is... They just love the 90s. They're 90s fetishists. And they're like, man, that's my childhood.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
I did.
And you kids are just pretending. I guess it's cool they appreciate.
It's fine.
They can appreciate.
I'm okay with that.
All right, here we go with the box office recap. Drew, where are we starting this week with number five?
Number five this week, Zootopia. Zootopia. It made $8.23 million, total of $307.
That's a shit ton of money.
Yeah, it is.
Zootopia. The highest grossing film of the year so far. This box office.
Really?
Yeah.
Because according to this, Batman v Superman made $9 million and now has $311 million domestic.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, that's good for Batman vs. Superman. Or is it worldwide box office? You can check right there at Box Office Mojo.
No, yeah. Total worldwide for Zootopia were at $882.
Okay, there you go.
For Batman v Superman, worldwide... Yeah, we're only at $827.
And I think Deadpool might be between them.
Probably.
When it comes to worldwide. Those are your top three grossing films.
Hang on, let's see. Deadpool worldwide, $758.
Ooh, okay. So that's your 1, 2, 3. Batman vs. Superman past that Deadpool. Which, really, Batman vs. Superman should be at like $1 billion by now.
And,
so it is
underperforming
a little bit.
Dude, according to that, Deadpool's got $360 domestic.
Yeah. Yeah. It crushed it.
Which is more than Zootopia and Batman have at this point.
Yeah, for U.S. box office? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's incredible. It's crazy. I wonder, has that passed the Passion of the Christ yet?
God, I hope so.
Because that was 300 and something that was up there. It was up there.
It's really good that weird, strange little comic book movie that was rated R and very violent and had scenes of pegging in it.
Yeah.
And
implied pegging.
The highest grossing domestic box office.
Off-screen implied pegging. Maybe that was the key. Maybe more movies should have that.
Off-screen implied pegging?
That's how studio execs think. They're like, what made this one different? We need more superheroes getting BF'd by their GF. But it's got to be in the name of true love, not just like random, not just random pegging.
Uh-huh.
It's got to be...
True love pegging.
Loving, yeah. A loving pegging. I hate that term. Why do they call it that?
Hey man, I'm just
it's hard being hip sometimes.
It is.
Just wanna back and I did anyway, where was I going?
Number three this week.
Number three, what were we talking about? Number four?
Number four, Batman v Superman.
Oh yeah. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Good job with that train wreck. Justice League should be filming by now.
Even more of a train wreck.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's a giant, beautiful, or maybe multi-million-dollar train wreck.
Or maybe it'll be better.
I highly doubt it.
Yeah, probably.
Coming in number three this week, The Boss had a weekend gross at $10 million, total of $40 million.
$40 million for Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, does have a production budget there?
$29 million.
Yeah, it's a cheap movie. Oh yeah. Her husband is the one who directs some of these, like that and Tammy, and I think might have done one more.
Bridesmaids.
No,
no.
That's Paul Feig.
Okay.
Who did that? The Heat and Ghostbusters.
Okay,
and,
so
and,
he's
Spy.
He's the other director that she works with.
He's the one that makes the good movies with her. Okay. And the husband makes the ones that aren't so good.
Okay.
But still make a little bit of money because it's Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
Good for her.
And coming number two this week.
Number two.
Barbershop : The Next Cut.
Oh shit, Barbershop :
Weekend gross $20 million.
And is this the opening weekend?
Yes.
$20
million? Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. I wonder what the other one's open to.
Budget. Criminal opened to 5.8.
Oh, Criminal. It
came in at number six.
That weird-looking movie with Kevin Costner.
Yeah, another one of those weird Ryan Reynolds movies that I'm not going to see until it comes out on DVD.
Another one of those weird Ryan Reynolds identity switcheroo type things.
So first he did it with Ben Kingsley, and now he's doing it with Kevin Costner.
So is it a sequel to Selfless? Where in Selfless, Ben Kingsley, he puts his consciousness inside Ryan Reynolds' body. I haven't seen this movie, so far I know.
No.
That movie then starts up in Criminal, where Ryan Reynolds' consciousness gets put into Kevin Costner. So then Ben Kingsley inside Ryan Reynolds, inside Kevin Costner.
So technically, Ben Kingsley's inside Kevin Costner.
Yes.
That sounds
like a Russian
that sounds
nesting doll.
A little bit homosexual.
And then I want another movie now where then Kevin Costner, it's a completely different universe, but his character, his like consciousness gets like a Johnny Mnemonic sequel, and he gets uploaded to like...
Back to Ryan Reynolds. Start it all, and boom!
Oh, man.
And it's a future past. So it could be the loop.
There we go. That makes perfect sense. Uh-huh. This all makes sense to me.
And then you have to actually question just who is in whose head, if that's the case.
At that point, it's like, what, where is the start of the Matrix?
Yes.
It's exactly. Like the 13th floor.
Uh-huh.
Because we've created simulations. Our simulations have created simulations.
Yes.
Right? Where is the... Uh-huh. How far up does the pagoda go?
Correct.
We need a Bruce Lee to take us up there.
We do.
That's why they...
And hopefully we'll find...
And that's why they always kill him before they get up
hopefully
there.
Hopefully we'll find a blind basketball player at the top. Or a light-sensitive basketball player, by mistake. Light-sensitive.
Number one.
making all that fucking money, Chris.
All the money?
The Jungle Book. $103.5 million opening weekend.
Sounds about right.
Budget of $175.
Sounds about right. It's a big Disney movie. A lot of marketing behind it. First, Zootopia came out like almost 2 months ago now.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the reason why it keeps making money. Jungle Book sounds out. It's for kids. It is PG, though. Like, can't get too young. Some scenes get a little intense.
Yeah.
I'd be wary, depending on what your kids are watching, you know, what age they are. It's not just like a free-for-all. It's not like a G movie. Just show up with all the kids.
Yeah.
Some young ones might freak out here or there.
Yeah, all that fire.
The fire at the end.
And Shere Khan looks fucking evil, dude.
Yeah, he's a pretty frightening tiger. Really all scarred face, dead eye, and then it's Idris Elba. Sound very scary.
Yes.
That's a scary character. Yeah. Yeah, the kids got to watch out for that. But it's really pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good movie.
I mean, it stayed very true to Disney's The Jungle Book.
Yes, it was the live-action version of Disney's...
Exactly.
Rudyard Kipling's The Jungle Book.
Yes, so...
Even including a couple of the songs.
Which...
Bare Necessities and the King Louie. What's the King Louie song?
I don't know.
It's like, I'm going to be Chris Walken.
Yep, exactly. Chris, I was like, oh, Gigantopithecus Chris Walken singing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's funny.
But
like,
I mean.
He's like, oh, check out these mangoes. Thanks, Chris Walken.
I want to be like you.
That's what I want to be like you, yeah. King Louie.
Yeah.
And Bill Murray's Baloo,
uh-huh.
Which is perfect.
Yes.
He was just perfect.
Worked out very well.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson as the snake.
That scene creeped me out.
Dude, that scene was really freaking creepy because...
It was creepy for you too? Because I thought it was just my snake phobia.
Well, no.
It was creeping me out.
Well, no, because here we go.
I tried really hard
because,
to watch it.
Because after watching her, I've kind of just fallen in love with her voice.
She's got a very particular voice that works for her in her. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. When she's talking as the snake, I was totally like the little cub. Like, okay, you want to hang out? You want to chill?
Yeah.
Let's totally chill.
Yeah, yeah.
I will totally, yes. And then you're going to eat me and I will die. Okay, totally.
That was so creepy.
Yeah.
And then it was like some of the foreground in it.
In the
background.
In the cartoon, he had like the kaleidoscope eyes and they found a way to make the snake's eyes almost...
The hypnotic thing.
Mimic
the eye hypnosis thing.
Yeah, but it looked natural for some reason.
Because they could play with the animation. Because the whole thing's an animated movie. The only thing that was ever real was like the kid.
The kid.
And I guess the floor sometimes. They threw some leaves on there to give them things to interact with.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, the kid had to be fake because of some things that were happening.
Yeah.
You know, some of the action. So, crazy looking movie. Like, it looks...
I was surprised at how...
Great.
How real it actually looked.
Yeah, some of it did.
I mean,
incredibly real.
All of the animals were talking. Mm. But if you... took that part out.
When they weren't talking.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god, is that a real fucking tiger? Holy shit.
A lot of close-ups of their fur. And
yeah, and it looked like real fur.
And the way they nailed the movements and stuff and everything.
And I mean, even the 3D aspect of this movie was fucking top-notch.
It was.
I'm really glad for the first time in a long time, I'm really glad I saw it in 3D.
It was worth it.
Totally.
Yeah, it's a little more than just a gimmick. It was,
oh yeah,
and it was noticeable throughout the whole thing.
It was actually used properly.
Yeah, yeah, and that's I think a benefit of the whole thing being animated.
Yeah,
because like animated movies tend to be better when they're in 3D than a live action movie.
Yeah.
Probably part of the reason why Avatar goes over so well because most of that movie is
CG.
It's painted in CG. You know, they're starting to call it a painting.
Okay.
Now, to try to get across to people what's really going on. But, you know, I respect that, I guess. It's part of the art form.
Yeah.
I just miss, you know, the old school. I like watching old movies when the background, you can tell it's like a giant mural.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, yeah. Isn't that cute?
And they're driving towards a mural that, like, expands everything. And you're like, oh, that's awesome. So much work goes into that.
Yeah.
And if sometimes you watch old movies, that shit will happen. You don't even notice that the clouds aren't moving.
Nope. You're just like, huh.
It's like, oh, that's a weirdly picturesque landscape.
Because it is a picture.
But yeah, The Jungle Book, it looks great. I'm very interested in seeing it again in about 5 years.
Yeah, maybe.
To see how noticeable the animation, the change will be. Because it will be.
I mean, yeah. I mean, at this point in time, it's like, top-notch, so you didn't even notice.
Yeah. Like, I remember when the dawn of the Planet of the Apes, the first one, the moment James Franco came out, and I was like, these apes look incredible. And saw it on FX again recently.
Not so incredible.
Look at these cartoon monkeys. I can't really ever think these things look real.
Because at that point in time, it was the best you'd seen.
Isn't it amazing how that works? Technology, it's fascinating shit. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to when Andy Serkis's The Jungle Book comes out in 2 years.
I'm looking forward to that.
Which is, it's going to be not Disney's The Jungle Book, but, you know.
Kipling's.
And he's doing all motion capture with people on sets with costumes and, limb extenders and things like that. And face, the suits with the balls and the dots.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
Very interested in that.
It should be good.
Yeah. Very, very excited for that. I would definitely tell people it's worth checking out in theater, seeing it in 3D.
Well, I mean,
if you're interested.
Yes. I'm going to have to agree just because of the scope and the effects, it lends itself to a larger format.
Yeah. And the 3D is like applied well. You would actually get your money's worth out of it as opposed to most other 3D movies where it's a bunch of bullshit.
I mean, it's rated 95% fresh.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
Average rating 7.8 out of 10.
Uh-huh.
Consensus is as lovely to behold as it is engrossing to watch. The Jungle Book is the rare remake that actually improves upon its predecessors, all while setting a new standard for CGI.
Yeah, it's like, it's a classic storytelling. It's the stakes are set up very plainly, and they're big stakes. And it's, a very identifiable story of a person seeking their place in the world.
Yeah.
Also using the old Disney trick of ripping a child from their parent.
Yep.
In this case, it was the kid leaving the wolf pack, right? Of course, if you transpose that story and you just update everything, it's like, oh, man, this works. Because it's...
Because the original story worked to begin with.
Time-tested.
Mm-hmm.
Time-tested. Reason why... When did that original come out? Like, the 60s? That's right. And people Something were still like that. Showing it to their kids in the 80s and 90s.
I was about to say, I grew up on that shit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah, good job, guys. Good job, Jon Favreau. Maybe now you can make Chef 2 and get some money from Disney to do it.
Disney's Chef 2.
Disney's Chef 2. And he's like, he meets up with Tinkerbell, and she turns his food truck into... A magical new movie is coming out on DVD, 50 Shades of Black. I know you're excited for that, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Marlon Wayans for the Shades of Black.
So excited. I can't wait to never watch that movie.
And good for Marlon Wayans for cranking out these like low-budget spoofs.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Cranking them out. They're making money somewhere because they get sequels. They're getting made. They're getting theatrical releases.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, good job, dude. Norm of the North. Which also came out right around the same time in theaters. All the movies that came out in January are now starting to come out in theaters.
Hooray!
Okay, so Norman and North is coming out. Perfect movie for spring. Movie about a polar bear. And The Revenant comes out.
Oh, I love that for a movie.
So all you people can now watch that in the comfort of your home and feel free to ridicule it and its artiness if you don't get it.
Because it's really, really arty.
Or, might be a perfect time to light up that joint you guys have been... You mom and dad out there have been saving for... For a special occasion, and maybe some tea. You know what kind of tea I'm talking about. Drew knows what kind of tea I'm talking about. Some of that Texas tea.
So you're drinking oil? That's weird.
Texas tea sweetener.
Why are you drinking oil, Chris?
You guys know what I'm talking about. Drew knows what I'm talking about. He's just being ostentatious.
That's a big word.
So nice. I used it right. What's coming out in theaters, Drew?
The Huntsman : Winter's War.
Oh.
And it's going to be The Huntsman's :
It doesn't look good.
No, it does not.
It doesn't look
I mean,
good.
It
I
is...
like all the ladies
it is,
in it.
It is stacked with the ladies. It's got that Jessica Chastain, who's amazing.
Yeah.
Charlize Theron, who is great in everything she does.
Yeah.
Emily Blunt. Good Lord.
Who's always good.
And Thor.
Thor, who's passable. I'm fine with Thor. I'm fine with Thor and stuff. He's not bad.
He's pretty enough.
He's not bringing down the things he's in. you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he's fine. But yeah, yeah, I like all these chicks. And I want to see it. Like, I want it to be good, but it does not look
it's
good.
It's not going
to
be good.
It does not look good. So I'll probably end up seeing it, though, anyway. Unless Green Room expands when we finally get to see that violent mess of a movie.
Also coming out this week, Elvis and Nixon.
Hopefully. I mean, it's probably going to be a limited release thing, most likely. I really want to see Michael Shannon as Elvis and Kevin Spacey as Nixon having a powwow.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's...
Johnny Knoxville's in the movie, bro.
Who does he play? Oh, my
God. I don't know, but he's in it.
I want to see this movie so bad. I want to see it. It's going to be so weird.
It is.
So weird.
Also coming out this week...
Kevin Spacey's going to be like, oh, Mr. Presley.
The new Tom Hanks flick, A Hologram for the King.
Yeah, who's the director? Does it say there?
Tom
Tykwer. The German dude that Run, Lola, Run, and he co-directed Cloud Atlas with the Wachowskis, and also worked on a few episodes of Sense8. So he worked with Tom Hanks then on the Cloud Atlas.
This movie looks kind of weird.
Looks interesting. He's a salesman, right? He's going to Saudi Arabia or someone to sell
a hologram.
Sell a hologram, it says on the title. At some point, he meets a lady and, brings up some sort of like forbidden cross-cultural romance type of thing.
Some sort.
It looks like it could be, interesting, quirky drama, adult drama. Sometimes you just gotta, sometimes you gotta dial it back. It can't all be retro 70s dystopian sci-fi thrillers and Werner Herzog internet documentaries, Drew.
But man, if it was, what a great life that would be.
It'd be sensory overload. Right? I mean, we'll talk about that in the Florida Film Fest bonus episode.
And last but certainly not least, it may be just a limited release, but Tale of Tales, the new movie from Matteo Garrone, the guy who did Gomorra.
Gomorra, the Italian film about the Crimea? Something
Crimean.
Like that. Crimean. Italian crime family, crime syndicate,
yes.
You would call it.
That movie's on the Netflix a lot.
It's always on there. I haven't seen it get taken down.
I would go beyond super violent and say that it is hyper violent.
It's insane. It is like a neo postmodern realistic Goodfellas, but set in a much more disorganized and gritty crime world.
Yeah,
that sucks.
Yeah,
like Goodfellas kind of glamorizes it just a little bit before it tears
it
all down.
Yeah, but this brings us to
Gomorra. Never glamorizes.
This brings us to kind of Eastern Europe, and that just the setting is dirty and grittier, and
it's a Wild West. It's a Wild West of the East of Eastern Europe.
Exactly,
it's crazy out there, and that's a great movie. And I do want to see whatever this guy does. Matteo Garrone.
Yes,
Garrone. He's Italian. Matteo Garrone. That's how you say it. So that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Tales. All right, that means that it's time for Dr. Drew's Two Cents. I hope the doctor is in because we need some news. And we hope it's good.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
All right, and the doctor is in. Dr. Drew, take it away.
This is going to be quick, Chris. Just remember one thing. It's never too late to start something new.
Never too late to... I'm writing this down.
It doesn't matter how old you are or what you got going on. It's never too late. And this just... comes up because I am in the midst of going back to school for the third time. I'm fucking 34 years old. I'm going back to school with fucking 18-year-olds.
Nice.
But,
yeah, 19-year-olds, Drew.
It is what it is. And like I said, it's never too late to start. So, boom. Doctor's out.
Beautiful. I love it. Very inspirational. Thank you, Dr. Drew. That's what he's here for, people. Let's take a break. Crespo Disco time. This is from the soundtrack for the movie High Rise, starring Tom Hiddleston.
So was that like a future past?
We're gonna be talking about that on that bonus episode.
Or like a past that never happened.
That retro future. We'll be talking
about.
But
it's not the future. It's like retro future past.
Days of retro future past. High Rise. Days of retro. That was the original title.
High Rise : Days of retro future past.
So we'll be talking about that on the Florida Film Festival bonus episode, which will be coming out later this week. We'll be getting into that. A bunch of other crazy movies that we saw. Good stuff. from that soundtrack. Clint Mansell did that soundtrack.
Of course he did.
And here is one of the songs from that. It's good stuff. I recommend people check out the movie when it comes out in May. And I think it already came out in the UK. So to our UK listeners,
go watch that shit.
Finish your bangers and go watch High Rise. All right. And yeah, so here you go, guys. Check out the song. We'll be back with the second half of the show. Got a lot of movie news, a lot of stuff. So you ready?
Am I ever?
This is Eric from Talking Nonsense with Eric and Stacy. Join us every Sunday, 9 p.m. Central on Alt360Radio.com. We're talking news, idiot politicians, movies, TV, Darwin Award nominees, comedy, sports. We're basically two married idiots turning brain thoughts into mouth words. That's Talking Nonsense every Sunday, 9 p.m. Central on Alt360Radio.com. If you missed the show live, grab the podcast at ericandstacyradio.com, Stitcher Radio, or iTunes.
Get a beatbox aside and a...
Yeah. Crespo D'Souza. It's the cinema of the Crespo D'Souza. It's the cinema. I'm Chris Crespo. What? 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 And we're out.
What's up? It's your boy Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff.
from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
All right, here we go. We're back. We weren't going to leave you guys. We weren't abandoning you. We were just taking a break.
I thought about it.
Drew always thinks about it, but he comes back because murders on me. I know where he sleeps. So, plugs. Drew, where can people complain to you online?
At antihero419, all over the interwebs.
What can they do with those complaints?
You can voice them if you wish, whether I may or may not respond. I may or may not care. It may or may not affect, probably not, no, it won't affect me at all.
I thought you were going to say they can shove it up their ass.
I mean, they...
I was leaving the door open, wide open for you.
I mean, that... I was going to say it, but I just had to go another route.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Sure. Mm-hmm. I respect that. Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. The show is at Crespo Diso. Facebook, Cinema Crespo Diso. And Instagram, Cinema Crespo Diso. Emails, if you want stickers. Just email us your mailing address and we will send them to you for free. And you know what you can do with them? You can stick them on things. You can stick them on things. That's what you can do with those stickers. And then take pictures of them and share them with us online, and we'll reshare them. We got stickers on the beaches in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. So if you don't think we won't send you stickers, we will.
I mean, we'll,
they're everywhere.
We got stickers all over the place.
They're all over the place. The Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
Chinatown in Philadelphia.
Yes. Somewhere probably in New York subways.
Oh, all over New York subways and New York rooftops. We had some in Austin, Texas. We got some in there everywhere.
We got some in Colorado.
Got some in Colorado.
Bunch out in LA.
I mean,
all over LA. We've hit Hawaii, what, twice now?
I think so. So, guys, come on. It's great. Get in on it. Get in on the fun. CinemaCrespoDiso@gmail.com. We will send you those stickers. If you're listening through iTunes, rate us and review us, please. That would be very helpful. Stitcher as well. There's a rating system that you can, it just takes you a second. Just go blah, 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 4 or 5 stars, whatever you want to put in there. You know, cool show. I enjoy it. Enter. It's all over. And it actually helps us out a lot for algorithm purposes.
Unless you use a lot of curse words, in which case you lose stars.
Yeah, don't be cursing, guys. That's weird. Don't do that. iTunes is weird. Don't curse. Excuse me. I guess that's, is that everything? I think that's everything. I think we covered all the grounds, did we, Drew?
Sure.
Okay, so that means let's start with the Billy D's Death of the Movies. He's our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado, hits us up every week with a missive that Drewster Cogburn reads. I stumbled on the Drewster there. But first, you gotta play that intro. Here we go, Drew Sagagrin, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
It's been a wild week up here in NYC. I ate fuku, finally, after several failed attempts. Drewster's next Fat Kid tour just got one stop larger.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
I'm very much looking forward to my next New York City Fat Kid tour.
Fuku.
Where basically me and Bill just get baked out of our heads, walk around and eat a bunch of food.
Nice.
It's awesome.
Nice.
And then I went and ate it again before seeing Green Room at the Union Square Regal.
Oh, shit. Double fuku. Green Room Regal.
I loved Blue Ruin when I saw it.
Blue Ruin's a great movie. Past Netflix pick of the week. No longer on the Netflix.
Instantly, I was haunted by images from Jeremy Saulnier's debut. Sad-eyed Dwight, dirty bathrooms, beautiful green hills, and so many knives. Blue Ruin was a fantastic entry in the Appalachian revenge genre, which is admittedly small. My expectations for his follow-up were high before I even knew what it was going to be. When I read he was making a punks versus skinheads thriller, Green Room shot to the top of my most anticipated of 2016. And Green Room, to put it bluntly, fucking great.
Whoa.
Maybe it's my personal experience with skinheads at hardcore shows in South Florida, but this movie is terrifying because it seems like a semi-realistic quote-unquote worst-case scenario. I've witnessed events escalate quickly in those environments, never to the scale, but I know that fear of being out of your element, far from home, and in way over your head. The Toilet of Davy comes specifically to mind.
Toilet of Davy. Shout out to Davy, Florida. Toilet of Davy.
Everyone deserves a round of applause for their performances. Yelchin and crew graduated from whatever punk rock camp they went to with flying colors. They seemed like kids I knew and grew up with, helped load gear for, drank, and fought with. And the skinheads. The skinheads were amazing. From Sir Patrick Stewart and Macon Blair, Dwight, on down.
Yeah, the lead guy from Blue Ruin.
Oh, and they made each of these racist pieces of shit a racist piece of shit with an identity. Each was unique beneath their common exteriors. Each was terrifying but had a history that brought them to the cause for different reasons. The same with the band and the punks they meet. Different people are attracted to these common lifestyles through different but similar circumstances. It reminded me of Mad Max in that way, how all the war boys had identities and histories and relationships. If there were any lessons to be gleaned from making Blue Ruin, Saulnier certainly learned them. Green Room is an instant genre classic. It's punk rock straw dogs. Give this kid all the money to make more movies, please. I feel like I've written so much and barely covered it. This movie is lean and so well-paced but packs a punch, and of course, is shockingly violent. I heard a lot of gasps. See Green Room. Stay cool. Billy D.
Nice. I want to see Green Room.
So do I.
Want to see it. Can't wait to see it. Hopefully this week, maybe next week, maybe the week after.
Chris.
Definitely within the next 2 weeks, because the first week of May is the Civil War. Ain't no one putting out no movies opposite Civil War.
Chris, we saw High Rise, so we got one up on all these
We
topics.
Got one up on Drew. We got one up on Drew, and I got one up on Billy for once. We saw High Rise first, so that's one.
And lo and behold.
One for the good guys.
And we saw the new Herzog documentary. Billy should be jealous of that as well.
That's going to be on Netflix eventually, so that's good for everyone. That's good. Looking forward to being able to talk about that more. Yeah, Green Room. Looking forward to seeing it. Check out Blue Ruin if you can, people.
Oh, man.
However you can.
So, fuck, man.
Not on Netflix anymore, so you have to find another way.
What I thought the entire movie was going to be was like the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, when they set it up, I was like, it's like, oh, so it's going to be about the whole journey of the, oh, no.
No, it's not.
This happened fast. Oh, boy. Fast and loose. Yeah, I'm very excited. Just been hearing a lot of great things about Green Room and, apparently, it's extremely, extremely violent. At one point, in an interview with the director, he said something about full frontal gore. Not really looking forward to find out what that's all about.
And I am a big fan of watching people that don't normally play the bad guy.
The black guy.
They don't normally play the bad guy. Play like a really bad guy.
Absolutely.
Like when Robin Williams did it. He went from like Mrs. Doubtfire and all this super happy shit to like the darkest, creepiest dude.
It's like a killer in Insomnia and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Really good. I'm pretty sure Patrick Stewart is
He's a great actor.
I mean, he's fantastic.
He's going to pull it off. Looking forward to it.
Of course.
Thanks, Billy. We appreciate it. Let's keep Drew reading stuff with the segment of the people, the Vox Populi. It's the voice of the people. And which button is it? Is it this one?
That's what you've all been waiting for.
I'm the voice of the people.
The world famous.
My Vox voice?
It comes through you.
So my voice is the voice of the
people. Yeah. It's like the voice of God. What you say?
From God?
Huh?
Pretty sure you said I'm God.
No, I'm saying it's like the voice of the people. That's the voice of God, and you're the vessel through which the voice speaks, like which is like man.
So I'm like Jesus.
You're like the guy that wrote down the Bible, the words in the Bible. You're like all those dudes, because they were all dudes.
You're right, they were all dudes.
And so you're like all those dudes.
Okay, sure. On Instagram.
It's a sacrilegious position, Drew.
It is sacrilegious.
Yeah.
Really is.
Maple or brown sugar.
On Instagram.
This is up on Instagram, Cinema Crest Visa.
Ron out in L.A. got at us.
What's up?
He says, well, Cinema Crest Visa.
That's us.
This Jungle Book warrants an IMAX and 3D chance. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan, but the lush and vibrant jungle backgrounds, it's pretty intense action that occurs that makes you forget it's animated.
Yeah.
Also, the emotion of the eyes is super awesome. Apparently, in the book, Ka was good. ScarJo is the only miscast for me. Voice acting and little Mowgli is on point.
I always want to say Mogwai.
I know.
I always want to say that.
Voice acting and little Mowgli.
Ha!
Damn it! Is on point. The fact he
Take two.
Hang on a second.
Action.
Oh,
okay. Wait,
okay, the fact that the interactions are done well is great.
Okay.
Oh, Christopher Walken. Oh, and Christopher Walken's singing is great.
Yeah.
And cowbells.
Cowbells.
Highly recommended for families. Walken. Cowbells.
Definitely, that's right. Definitely good family movie, for sure. Oh, but beware with the littlest little ones. But then again, maybe they need a dose of terror in their life to get them used to the real world.
Seriously.
You can't shelter them forever, parents. They're going to be touched by the world. It's horrible and disgusting. It's going to happen. Stop trying to prevent it. Just let the world take them. All right, you're good.
On Facebook, Paul Hine got at us.
What's up, Paul?
Not sure if you ever saw these. Just stumbled upon it, and it's hilarious. Link to Commando making a video on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm sure you can see this if you go to Cinema Crespi. So we posted it to the wall there on Facebook. You can see the video. Or just go to YouTube, search Commando Making Of. I'm pretty sure it's the same one that's on the special edition DVD. Back when they used to do those all the time.
Oh, those were good.
Those were good days. Those were fun. A lot of good content came out back then. And they put out like a special edition of Commando that had some scenes put back in. Because they had to cut it down some of the... Oh, shit.
Oh no.
Gotta practice for the guest. Finish that thought. There's a Commando Special Edition DVD where they put like some of the shit back in, some of the violence or whatever. They call it the director's cut, and it's crazy. There's like the tool shed scene where he's killing people.
Yeah.
There's like five more people that he kills.
Sweet.
He takes like a table saw blade and just throws at a guy and it cuts off the top of his head.
Chunk.
Like shoot a whole chunk of it.
Awesome.
Then he grabs another guy by the arm, just takes some shit and just cuts it off at the elbow.
Sweet.
And then there's a shot of the guy holding his thumb. He's like, ah.
Awesome.
He's just squirting blood.
Hell yeah.
It's good stuff. Oh, that movie. And that's, yeah, the making of stuff is fun. He's got young Arnold, and he's like, we're here to make a movie. I'm going to kill all these people. Yeah, it's a good time. I enjoy it quite a bit. Thanks, Paul. We appreciate it. Drew, oh, here we go. It's time for Idris Cogman vs. World Sparring Round. This game is called Nepotism Rules.
Okay.
Are these actors related?
Shit.
It's a yes or no, so
shit.
You're going to have a 50-50.
Okay.
At the very least.
Okay.
All right, number one, RDs. You don't even have to say how they're related. Just
okay.
Yes or no. Number one, John Voight and Angelina Jolie.
Yes.
Correct. They are. Do you know?
Father and daughter.
Correct. Number two, Brad Pitt and George Clooney.
No.
That is correct. So number three, Goldie Hawn and Kate Hudson.
Yes, mother and daughter.
That is correct. Number four, Nicolas Cage and Jason Schwartzman.
Damn it. Wait. Aren't they related through marriage?
None of these are related through marriage.
Okay.
These are all blood relations, yes or no.
Oh, blood relations. I'm going to go with no.
They are.
Oh, is it the Coppola thing?
It's the Coppola thing.
God damn it.
Nicolas Cage is Jason Schwartzman's uncle. He's Uncle Nick.
It's the Coppola thing.
It's the Coppola thing. Nick Cage is Talia Shire's brother. Talia Shire, Adrian from the Rocky movies.
Yes.
Jason Schwartzman is. Number five. Are they related? Yes or no? John Travolta and Jodie Foster.
No.
That is correct. Number six. Johnny Depp and Crispin Glover.
No.
That is correct. Number seven. Melissa McCarthy and Jenny McCarthy.
No.
Incorrect.
Really?
They are cousins.
Huh.
First cousins.
So the same McCarthy clan.
Same McCarthy clan.
Interesting.
They are direct cousins. Number eight. Warren Beatty and Shirley MacLaine.
Yes?
Yes. They are brother and sister. Number nine. Guillermo del Toro and Benicio del Toro.
No.
That is correct. And number 10, Brandon T. Jackson and Samuel L. Jackson.
No.
That is correct. You got a 8 out of 10 on that one.
Not bad. Really? The McCarthys are... That's kind of strange.
Yeah, because...
I mean, I guess I get it. They're both kind of funny.
Yeah.
I don't know how crazy Melissa McCarthy is.
I think Jenny Hogg's all the crazy.
But Jenny McCarthy is... Batshit insane.
Jenny Hogg's all crazy. And Donnie's like, hey, I'll take it.
Of course he will.
Back to the Vox Populi. Drew, take it away.
Ron out in LA got at us again.
Hey, what's up, Ron? Again?
Something to talk about, Chris. Link to infographic titled 10 of the most successful female movie directors.
Yeah, you can probably Google that, or, you know, again, try to, you can probably see it if you go to facebook.com/CinemaCrespi, so you can probably see him and posting that there. Or maybe he posted it under his wall if you can find him. Do some internet sleuthing. That shit is easy. It's an interesting infographic. It's about the most successful female directors, so not necessarily like the most well-known. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of interesting names that aren't on the list, like Kathryn Bigelow.
I was about to say, but she beat out her ex-husband for Best Picture of the Year.
But Hurt Locker made like $15 million at the box office.
Really?
Yeah, that movie made like, it's one of the lowest grossing box office winners of all time.
It's so good.
But America didn't want to see a movie about the PTSD of soldiers. They want to that asks like questions. They want to see like an American Sniper where it's like, this guy is an American. He's keeping us safe.
And he also
has sheeps and wolves, and son. Sheeps and wolves.
And he also has crazy PTSD.
Yeah, but you know, that's for protecting his boys, you know, and ever questioning saving America.
Same PTSD.
No, it's in a different context.
Yeah, whatever.
It is in a different year. Yeah, and what's the other one? The Lone Survivor.
Oh,
that's another one.
The
that one made a bunch.
What's with all these Mark Wahlberg biopics, man?
Him and Peter Berg have stumbled on it.
Yeah. They're like, hey, we're going to make these movies, and they're going to make a shit ton of money.
That Deep Water Horizon trailer is actually pretty good.
It is.
I've seen it a few times now, but it's a pretty good trailer.
I just hope Mark Wahlberg doesn't do his whole, oh my God, the trees are going to kill us, guys.
Guys, the oil. Have you heard about the oil? we got to push down the mud, and then the oil's going to push up through the mud.
And they're going to kill us all.
And it's going to fucking explode in our face. And then what are we going to do? I'm going to work out. What were we talking about? Ron was all like,
mm-hmm. Successful about, movie. Female directors.
Oh, yeah. So Kathryn Bigelow's on the list, right? But there's like the lady who directed Kung Fu Panda 2. That movie made a bunch of money.
Yeah, it did.
So they talk about her. A woman also directed one of the second Alvin the Chipmunks movie. And that one made a bunch of money. Another one did the first Shrek.
Okay.
Another one did... Is that all the animated ones? I think there's one more animated one. Catherine Hardwick, who did the first Twilight movies, on the list. They put Ava DuVernay on there for Selma, even though it only made $52
million. Yeah,
so that's on the low end.
But it's Selma.
It's very, very, very great. It's a great movie.
I mean, the opening...
And it did make a cultural mark.
Just the opening scene of that movie, I was like, holy shit, this is the way they're starting this movie?
Yeah, the opening is like, it grabs you, and it's like, wake the fuck up. Like, oh my God, okay, I'm here, I'm sorry. I'm paying attention now. I slept eating my popcorn. Another type of movie you want to like eat your M&Ms and watch what's going on. This is brutal. It's an interesting list. How much money some of these movies made and some of these directors. Some of them have you never even heard of because, like I said, it's a lot of animated movies and stuff. And directors don't get as much credit for animated movies because that's even more of an obvious...
Like, Jon Favreau did.
...team effort. Well, yeah, because
Jon Favreau's The Jungle Book.
Because now you're blurring the line between what makes an animated movie and what makes, a live action type thing.
I just hope Jon Favreau doesn't do the whole Kenneth Branagh thing.
Kenneth Branagh's Jon Favreau.
Exactly.
The Jungle Book. Yeah, he won't. He doesn't seem like that type of guy. Yeah, there you go.
Check
it out. Successful female directors.
Last but certainly not least, Ricardo Perez got at us on Facebook.
What's up, Ricardo?
Yes. Avatar sequels a bust or worth the wait for 15 years?
That's a great segue into the movie news section, because that was one of the stories that I pulled to talk about this week. Kind of a big week for news in the movie world, because this thing went down called CinemaCon, which is a big multi-day presentation where all the studios show up. And they have they get up on a stage and they have big presentations showing the movies they have coming out scheduled, showing whatever footage they have, and the audience typically is like vendors, exhibitors, and they're trying to be like, you know, the state of the movie business is good, you know we need theaters, keep investing in it, blah blah blah. Interestingly, Amazon was there.
Okay.
Because Amazon has like 4 movies playing at the Cannes Film Festival.
See, they're killing it.
They've greenlit a lot of stuff really fast. And one of the things they did, for their presentation, I saw some people do this because I follow a handful of, you know, like entertainment reporters and shit on Twitter, right? And so a bunch of them were there. the Amazon presentation up on the screen as people walked in. It said Amazon, something along the lines of Amazon Hearts Theaters or something like that. And the crux of their presentation was that they want to respect that 90-day window. They want movie theaters to show their movies, you know, in theaters. Well, and they will wait to 3 months before they make it available on their platforms.
If they're willing to play that game, then the theaters will embrace them.
And that's what they're saying. They're saying, we are here to play that game. Netflix is like, no. Netflix is pushing. They want movies to come out in theaters and on Netflix the same day. Well,
they're trying to change the system. Yeah. And they're... as much of a force as Netflix really is, especially these days
they're going up against another big force.
Going to fail doing it this way.
The MPAA is pretty big, so I mean that's all the studios represented together. So, Amazon's playing ball. That's where they're thing.
And you know what? They're gonna make the money.
And the CinemaCon's a pretty big thing because Fox, they sent James Cameron out there.
Whoa!
And Cameron presented his Avatar plan,
okay,
which is now like huge.
Okay.
Previously, he said he was gonna do Avatar 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
Let's tack on another one: 2, 3, 4, and 5. Now we have release dates as well.
I mean, Chris, I love James Cameron. Mm-hmm. Motherfucker is a genius.
He is.
I mean, he creates his own technology to shoot the movies that he needs to shoot because the technology isn't there yet.
Which he's doing with the Avatar movies.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
But you're not giving a shit about these Blue Cat people.
I don't, right? But maybe he can make us give a shit about them.
I doubt it.
But he has... he came up with these writers with a story idea so big that they were like, this justifies... Like, they wanted to write 3 movies, and the stories they came up with were like, we have 4 movies.
That was 15 years ago.
When the first Avatar came out, right? No, it came out... When did it come out? In 2009?
Still, that was so long ago, Chris.
It was a very long time ago. Maybe even longer than that. It was a very long time ago.
I don't care anymore.
Absolutely. That's the thing. It doesn't seem like people would care so much, but it's a James Cameron movie, and he has invented stuff to make these movies possible, which is why it's taking so long.
I mean... Unfortunately, I'm going to see these things because it's fucking James Cameron.
But it's like the Hobbit movies, right? They'll get us in the door the first time, maybe even for the first couple of movies. But if the stories aren't banging,
then I don't care.
Not coming back for all the technology in the world.
Exactly. I mean, I did not see the last Hunger Games or the last Hobbit movie for specifically those reasons.
There you go. And so here we go. Here's our timetable. Avatar 2 comes out Christmas 2018.
Okay, so 2.5 years until I give them another shot.
Avatar 3, 2 years after that. So they're not doing... He's not going year to year. There's going to be a space. So Avatar 4, 2022. Avatar 5, 2023. The last two movies will be consecutive years. The first one came out December 2009. So there'll be a full 9 years between Avatar and Avatar 2.
All I'm saying is... Avatar 2 needs to be as good, if not better, than Avatar 1 to reignite the interest in this goddamn series. Because if not, then episodes 3, 4, and 5 are going to flop and James Cameron is going to go bankrupt.
Well, let's see what he says here. He says, each one of the sequels stands alone, but together form a complete saga. A true epic saga told in this rich, complex world. That's how he describes the movies. So, we'll see. Huge endeavor that surely he's put in a lot of his own time and money, but he also went to the bottom of the Mariana's Trench and then came back up, so
I know, but all of these
things, anyone could get to the bottom of the Mariana's Trench, he came back up,
but all of these things have pivoted on the fact that he has made good decisions that have made money,
right? But they're good movies. What if it's good,
Chris?
He hasn't made...
However many years later... But he
hasn't made a bad movie yet, though.
But he has made Avatar, which I will never watch again.
But it's not like you didn't like it.
You're right. It wasn't like I didn't like it, but it's probably the only James Cameron movie besides Titanic that I will never watch for a second time.
Fair enough. It made all its money that it needs to make. You don't have to see it again. It made all the money already. It's fine. You can put Avatar away.
But he's banking on that success driving the next 4 films.
He's banking on him. He's banking on the James Cameron brand. You're not going to the movie to see Avatar. You're going to a movie to see a James Cameron movie.
You know, Peter Jackson tried that and failed, at least with me.
Yeah, but he got you 2 out of 3.
And George Lucas got all of my money, and I hated fucking most of his movies.
But he got it, though. He did it. He got your monies. These people are
I'm going to give Jim Cameron one more shot. Okay. If Avatar 2 isn't good, I am not going to the next three.
Okay. James Cameron's been put on notice.
He has. Drewster Cogburn has put James Cameron on notice.
Take that, Drewster.
Damn straight.
James, I always call him Drewster Cameron. All right, talk about more sequels. More sequels, Drew. Channing Tatum has joined Kingsman 2, The Golden Circle.
Heard that.
That's interesting. That's a movie shaping up to have a great cast.
Yeah.
He's going to be some sort of American spy, probably.
I'm
some
okay
type
with that.
Of thing. Yeah, works. It's cool. That works for me.
I mean, he can do John McClane. I'm okay with that.
It's still really cool. Also, in Channing Tatum news, that Men in Black Jump Street crossover, it's got a name. It's got a title. This movie's happening, Drew.
It's so awesome.
This movie is happening.
That's so awesome.
It's going to be called MIB 23 is the name of this Men in Black Jump Street crossover. Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones not coming back. It's going to be about young agents, but Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill will be.
Oh, I wanted to. I mean, I would have been.
Maybe we'll get like a cameo.
I would have.
I could see Will Smith doing a cameo.
I was about to say, Tommy Lee Jones, I would understand not coming in for this. Like that yeah, I get. Yeah. He's Tommy Lee Jones.
I could see them doing a one day, show up on the set one day, we pay $1 million each.
But like I'm saying, but Will Smith better show up for this fucking thing.
Just a nod and a shout.
Yeah, no, exactly. He needs to be in the movie for at least 30 seconds.
Yeah, so there's going to be new agents, but the same Jump Street guys.
So silly.
It's incredible.
So the Jump Street guys, oh, please tell me Lord Miller are coming back.
In a producing capacity. They're busy with the young Han Solo film for Disney. On top of, like, still exec producing Last Man on Earth, exec producing Lego Batman and Lego Movie 2, exec producing, they have their hands in many pots. It's only a matter of time before they falter somewhere. They gotta fuck up. They can't keep being awesome and everything. No one's that good.
Are you sure?
Lord Miller. We love you, but no one's that good.
But they're Lord Miller.
I know, it's so good.
You put them together and they make, like, an English knight. It's
ridiculous. They're like the Voltron of comedy, of good movies. Guys, you gotta check out. First is a bunch of. There's been a few new trailers that came out this week that I think are worth watching.
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange show is pretty good. It's a lot of fun. Looking like The Matrix meets Inception meets magic.
It gives me so much hope. This is gonna be such a fucking weird movie.
I hope so, yeah. Like when Tilda Swinton punches Benedict Cumberbatch's soul out of his body.
Yes. Pretty awesome.
Who he's talking, he's with an American accent, sounding like he sounds like House MD.
I'm okay with that.
He's doing that flat American accent thing. Just like, ooh, British guy.
I'm okay with, I'm okay with that.
It's fine. No, he looks the part.
Yeah.
So he's going to do crazy hands. Oh, shit. He's going to do crazy hands a lot. Wouldn't just be magic coming out of him. But there's a trailer for, back in 2003, Toho, the Japanese company that does all the Godzilla movies, all the man in suit ones going back to the original 60s, late 60s Godzilla. Back in 2003, they made Godzilla Final Wars.
Okay.
With the director, what's his name? Kitamura? I forgot his name. But the guy who did like that movie Versus. Remember that movie Versus?
Versus was awesome.
Versus, that crazy movie. It was like vampire zombies in the woods with swords.
Yeah. And in the city, too. They were also in the city, and it was almost the future, but not quite.
Oh, at the very, very end. Yeah. Very, very end. That was weird. And the roles flipped. The bad guy was a good guy. The good guy was a bad guy. Like, what the fuck's going on? That guy, he did the last Godzilla movie, which featured Godzilla fighting, like, every monster from every Godzilla movie. And, including one scene where he's, like, Godzilla's literally just walking down the street. And up the block, like, a really bad animated version of the 98 Godzilla, the Roland Emmerich one. He pops up, and he sees big Godzilla
runs
man
away.
In suit. No, he runs towards him, and Godzilla just takes him, he stomps him and kills him immediately.
I was about to say,
it's, super fast.
Does Godzilla in suit rip off monsters' heads and breathe fire down their throats to cauterize the wound to make sure the head doesn't grow back?
Yeah, no, that shit was amazing. I really like that Godzilla, the new American Godzilla, is totally a badass, and I think it's really good. Not everyone likes it, but I think it's worth it.
I really enjoyed it.
I'm looking forward to the next one. And but after Toho did Godzilla Final Wars, after they did that one, they announced, like, we're doing this, and then we're putting the character on the shelf for like 10 years because we definitely have experience, obviously.
Yeah.
The law of diminishing returns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we feel like it's time for, we need, they came out and said we need the Japanese people to like miss the character again.
Exactly. Wanted.
13 years later, Toho's back. He has come out of retirement like we said he would, because they said at that time at least 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's been 13. There's a movie called Shin Godzilla, which is pretty translates to pretty much New Godzilla.
Okay.
And the trailer's pretty cool. It's a combination. It's like the Attack on Titan type thing.
Yeah.
Where it's a combination of a man in suit mm-hmm. with like models, a puppet. I think a little bit of animation in there maybe, but it's mostly practical. And you can definitely tell it's like, you know.
Yeah.
But the trailer is really cool. And it's a really crazy looking Godzilla with like beady eyes. And his skin looks like lava is like underneath it.
Okay.
And his tail is bigger than he is.
Whoa.
And there's a shot all the way in the beginning of the trailer of like, it's almost like a Cloverfield type POV thing. But not shaky camera.
Yeah.
But like ground view where people look up and there's just a gigantic tail like swinging over,
and
them,
they say,
over the buildings.
Oh my God.
Old
Godzilla's coming.
Kids don't understand the joys of Dubface.
Ah, oh, Dubface is so funny.
Yeah, you did all that and no one saw it. I was the only one to see it. It was very awkward looking at you making that, those faces.
Well, it's Dubface, man.
So check out the trailer for a new Godzilla movie. I think it looks really cool. And also the Doctor Strange one.
Yes.
And also, what was the other one? Oh, the Neon Demon trailer. Have you seen that one?
No.
Oh.
Looking forward to watching it, though.
Oh, boy. Thinking that, should we pause real quick so you can watch it? Nah, well, you can just watch it later on your own. People, check out the Neon Demon trailer. Nicholas Winding Refn's new movie. And it just looks like, what do you expect a Nicholas Winding Refn? Like a fucking
sweet,
a crazy trip of a movie. It looks awesome. Also, at a CinemaCon, they announced the title for the new Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
You want to take a guess of the title, Jer? You'll never get it. It is... I'll just show it to you. You can read it out.
It moved. Spider-Man Homecoming.
What do you think? What do you think of that font there? That the official font for the new Spider-Man?
I think it is very amateur.
Doesn't it look really cheap?
And young, but that's what they're going with for with Spider-Man. They're bringing him back to the high school days.
Well, they're definitely going with young for sure.
Homecoming, Chris. I swear to God, if he ends up at a dance, I'm gonna fucking shoot somebody.
The movie, it's gonna take place like probably on during the dance.
I'm gonna fucking shoot somebody.
They have said officially that the new Spider-Man, the solo movie, is going to be like a John Hughes movie. Mm-hmm. Like it's a fully,
yeah.
He's in high school, yeah. So yeah, it's gonna be like it's the weekend of the homecoming dance, and he has to also on the side like fight the vulture or some shit, you know, but also make it back in time to take his date to the dance.
As long as Gwen Stacy dies, I don't give a fuck.
We have to kill her again. We already killed her once. Sure, we gotta kill her again.
Well, with every new Superman, they need a new Gwen Stacy to die.
Excuse me, Spider-Man.
Whatever.
It's every new Superman. So this movie is gonna be directed by John Watts, who did Cop Car. Remember that movie?
Yes.
Cop Car is really good. But it's written by the guys who wrote the Vacation movie, the Vacation remake. And that's not very good. So it's between those two things, it's still a toss-up as to whether or not the new Spider-Man's going to be good or not.
Well, you say...
You say tomato, I say tomato. You say
well, you say
Spider-Man,
directed
I say
by Cop Car, good.
Cop Car, Kip Car.
Written by Vacation Guys.
Vacation.
And it's written as a John Hughes movie.
They're going for that,
so
that high school
vibe. The Vacation Guys doing the high school vibe is going to be fucking awful.
It could be.
No, it's going to be.
But what if...
I'm calling it right now.
What if John Watts brings him to
I'm
that?
Calling it.
Okay.
I'm calling it right now. The new Spider-Man movie, garbage.
You're just calling it. New Spider-Man movie is garbage, people. Don't even bother. Don't even bother going to see it. Just shut it down.
Yeah, right now.
Just shut it down, Sony. Just stop making it.
Wait, seriously.
What's wrong with you? Okay. Got that out of the way.
Yeah.
Unless they shut it down, it's coming out July 7, 2017. So we got a little over a year to find out.
It's going to be awful.
How, whether Drew is right or not.
I am.
Looking forward to find that out. Batman vs. Superman, that R-rated cut, they're putting it in theaters.
Really? God damn it.
Yeah, extra half hour, a little more violence. We're going to finally find out what character Jenna Malone played, because she was in the movie and then cut out of it.
So, it's going to be another 2.5 hour Zack Snyder movie.
No, it's going to be a 3 hour Zack Snyder movie.
Fuck you, Zack Snyder. You goddamn asshole.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Jump into Netflix, The Defenders. We got a release date, a start date for filming. I thought we were going to have like Daredevil season 3, maybe Jessica Jones season 2, and on top of Luke Cage and Iron Fist season 1. I thought we were going to have all these things before we ever got to the Defenders.
Not the case.
I was wrong. Apparently, the Defenders will start shooting later this year.
Well, I mean, I was about to say, they already intertwined the Jessica Jones and Daredevil characters.
Between three seasons of two shows, they've done it seamlessly.
Spinning
off to the Luke Cage.
Because of Jessica Jones, Iron Fist. We have Luke Cage, and because of Luke Cage, I mean, fucking Marvel's doing it right, man.
Establishing that they're all in the same city.
Yeah.
New York City. And that they're going to be all in one show, the Defenders. Yeah. The showrunners, because, you know, it's different people doing all the shows. The Defenders is going to be handled by the Daredevil people.
Sweet.
So they're the ones in charge of teaming them all up.
I'm okay with that.
And is there any other news about other? Let me see. Because Luke Cage and Iron Fist are both underway. Who's talking? Who does this? No, that's something else. Blah, 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 blah. We get it. So there you go. Defenders is coming on Netflix. Probably by next year.
See?
You're right. Luke Cage is later this year. So Iron Fist... Probably Luke Cage later this year. Iron Fist early next year. And then Defenders, springish. Jumping into real quick comic book news. Just for some of you people who might be interested in this. Johnny, you might be interested in it. I don't know. But in the past, they've had... of course, Aliens vs. Predators.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular. Mm-hmm. In all sorts of platforms. Mm-hmm. Also in comic book version, they've had Aliens versus Judge Dredd.
Mm-hmm.
They've also had Aliens... No, they've also had Predators versus Judge Dredd.
Mm-hmm.
So, it only makes sense, Drew, that now, coming out this year, comic book form...
AVPVD?
Aliens versus Predators versus Judge Dredd.
Which Judge Dredd are we getting?
The current now, 2080 old grizzled Judge Dredd.
Okay.
Yeah, but there you go.
It's not Keith Urban. No. Kyle Urban.
No. It's all done through the official channels. It's not.
Damn it.
Carl Urban.
Through the Dread people. Because I want more Dread. I mean, when we were watching High Rise, I was thinking, Mega City 1?
Mega City 1, yeah. Yeah, it is. It is the Mega Block. Totally. Or, let's say, being the Raid. What else? There's more stories in here. Oh. So, this is weird, guys. This is strange. We're going to do this, Drew. We're going to have to do this.
Okay.
And if you don't believe me, the first 8 minutes is online. You can find it. So there's a whole thing with, Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And Pink Floyd's The Dark Side of the Moon.
Done it.
They sync up.
Yes, been there, done that.
You start at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
Album loops as the movie goes.
I don't know.
It's on one of the roars.
It's either the second or the third Lion Roar.
It's one of the Lion Roars in the MGM logo. Yeah. And then it syncs up. The money's falling out of the tree. It's like, ching, 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 and the money.
Right when it turns to color. So,
yeah, exactly. There's a new movie that syncs up with Dark Side of the Moon, Drew.
Okay.
And the first 8 minutes syncs up. It's kind of fascinating.
Okay.
That would be Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Really?
If you start Dark Side of the Moon at the very end of the opening crawl.
Uh-huh.
Right when it's starting to pan down. The first 8 minutes matches up. I wanted to see how whatever else does. Because they say that it does. And obviously the type of thing where some of it is and some of it won't.
Yeah.
But apparently, the album plays three times.
Interesting.
During the length of the movie. And it's solely worth looking into, I think. For journalistic purposes.
Yes. Sure. Journalistic purposes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we've got to report back. We're going to be so. We need content.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. And TV.
Yes.
Gonna wrap it up here with some TV. Actual TV.
Network cable?
Cable TV.
Okay.
TNT.
Yes.
We talked about before how they're doing...
Turner Network Television.
Turner Network Television is doing a horror block of programming.
Yes.
And M. Night Shyamalan is like the exec producer of the whole thing.
Mr. Shyamalan Ding Dong.
And the flagship is going to be the new Tales from the Crypt.
Mm-hmm.
With the new Crypt Keeper, because HBO still has the rights to the original Crypt Keeper.
Okay.
Right, so they have to come up with something different legally. But they're doing a whole thing, and it's a go. TNT has officially given the 10-episode order for Shyamalan's Tales from the Crypt. Blah 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 blah. Part of this this announcement, they announced two other shows that are going to be during this block. One is called Time of Death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in Time of Death. Where is it? It's going to be an anthology series. That's all the rage now.
Yeah.
You know, do a show where it's a different story every season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an anthology. Each season will take the viewer hour by hour through a single, quote, long night of hell.
Sweet.
The first season will follow a murderous psychopath who returns to his Midwestern hometown during the annual county fair to exact revenge on a community he believes destroyed his life.
That sounds like a lot of fun, actually.
So the first season is going to be the hour-by-hour breakdown of that night.
The whole season. God, hopefully there's a lot of murder.
It's TNT, so they're going to have to balance that out carefully. I don't know exactly how violent they get on TNT. It is a horror block, though, so that's the thing. Yeah, Danny DeVito, you just saw that? Danny DeVito is one of the exec producers on...
What?
Yeah. In the 90s, Danny DeVito was way more involved in producing and directing movies.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Never knew that.
Yeah, look up his producer credits. You'll see a whole new thing around there. Drew Coburn, finally looking at the Pulp Fiction poster, has been hanging here for months and months and months, actually.
Years.
This other show that they're doing Tales from the Crypt. They're doing Time of Death, and their third show is called Creatures.
Okay.
Creatures is a psychological thriller that tells the tale of two, that's a lot of T's, former best friends who, at 12 years old, tried to cut out their classmate's heart as a sacrifice to an internet boogeyman they invented called Mr. Gorgy. 15 years later, the two young women have been released from a psychiatric institute into their small Alaskan town, but it's not long before they start feeling the alluring and terrifying presence of Mr. Gorgy. Storyline bears a striking resemblance to the real-life tale of two Wisconsin girls who try to kill a classmate to please internet creation Slenderman.
Sweet.
Yeah, so that's what that one's all about. Mr. Gorgy's coming to get you.
I'm telling you this, Chris. If two bitches tried to sacrifice me, I would totally slit their throats.
Oh, Drusa Cogburn, putting it down. Sacrificial-looking bitches out there. Watch your back.
I got your sacrifice right here. You're going to sacrifice me? No, I'm going to sacrifice you.
What a weird statement to make. Like, bitches may not be trying to sacrifice me. I'll tell you if they try to sacrifice me. No one's trying to sacrifice you, Drew.
I'm just saying, man.
Ain't no bitches trying to do nothing with you, Drew. Don't worry about that.
You're right.
Oh, that was sad. So that's all the movie news. We got all the movie news that's fit for views. For you.
Views? Nobody's watching.
I mean, no, not views like that, like point of view.
Sure.
For opinions, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
That's honestly what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Gotcha.
Why are you being all sarcastic for? That's...
Because I don't believe you, sir.
Drew, you're killing me here. You son of a bitch. Okay, so I guess that's a wrap.
That's how we're ending this fiasco.
That's how we're ending this fiasco of a show. We'll be back next week. We'll have a guest in here next week for sure. And we're also going to do our Florida Film Fest bonus episode soon. So keep an eye out for that, peoples. Drew, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome, sir.
And thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. We appreciate you. We got to, you know, read books and stuff. And when our Herzog movies are good. And
stuff.
Yeah, read books and stuff. And, you know, socialism forever. And, down with the capitalists. Down with the capitalists. Damn the man.
Oh.
Damn the man, oh, save the empire.
Chris. Oh, Chris.
And the Illuminati is real. And Lee Harvey Oswald was a patsy.
And we never landed on the moon, right?
No, we landed on the moon. The footage was fake. The footage, they wanted to make sure they had footage because it was a propaganda war. If you go to the moon and you don't have footage of it, and you can't prove it, then you don't win the propaganda war. They're trying to beat the Soviets. They weren't trying to get the moon for science. They're trying to get the moon because they want to get there before the Soviets did.
Are you sure the Transformers weren't up there and that's why we were going to the moon?
That's possible, too, that the Transformers were up there on the dark side of the moon, but it took them a while to see it. That first time, it was... They weren't sure that the cameras were going to work in outer space, which is a reasonable... It was film.
Yeah.
It was a reasonable concern.
Uh-huh.
The vacuum of outer space. Yeah. Would a camera work? Where's the light coming from? So, Stanley Kubrick faked it on a soundstage at NASA while at the same time it was simultaneously filming 2001 Space Odyssey with NASA's assistance. So, you know. I mean, it all makes sense if you think about it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure does.
9/11 was a conspiracy. It was an inside job.
Yep.
There you go. Buildings don't pancake, Drew. Okay, so we are out of here. All right, so is that our last audition? Do we have anything else, sir?
Actually, sir, we have one final audition. I'm kind of doing this as a favor. I know this guy. He's a friend of my roommate. He just kind of needs the work, so I said I'd get him in, if you don't mind. And he's
okay.
Whatever.
Okay, yeah, fine. Let's get it over with. Why don't you go ahead and bring him in?
Thank you very much, sir. I'll let him in. Hi, how's it going? Welcome. Could you please state your name for the camera?
Mr. Bane.
All right, Bane. Should I call you Mr. Bane or?
No.
All right.
It's just Bane.
Thank you, sir. You'll be reading the part of Vincent today.
I thought I was prepared to read for Jules.
You'll be reading the part of Vincent.
Okay.
So that
throws me off a little, but I'll be fine.
We're just going to start whenever you're ready. Just let me know when you've prepared yourself.
Okay.
Okay, now, tell me about the hash bars.
What do you want to know?
Well, hash is legal there, right?
Yes, it's legal, but it isn't 100% legal. I mean, you can't walk into a restaurant, roll a joint, and start puffing away. You're only supposed to smoke in your home or certain designated places.
Those are hash bars.
Yeah, it breaks down like this. It's legal to buy it, it's legal to own it, and if you're the proprietor of a hash bar, it's legal to sell it. It's legal to carry it, which doesn't really matter because get a load of this. If the cops stop you, it's illegal for them to search you. Searching you is a right that the cops in Amsterdam don't have.
That did it, man. I'm fucking going. That's all there is to it.
You'll dig it the most. But you know what is the funniest thing about Europe?
What?
It's the little differences. A lot of the same shit we got here, they got there, but they're just a little different.
Examples?
Well, in Amsterdam, you can buy beer in a movie theater. And I don't mean in a paper cup either. They give you a glass of beer, like in a bar. In Paris, you can buy beer at McDonald's. Also, you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
No, they got the metric system there. They wouldn't know what the fuck a quarter pounder is.
What did they call it?
Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese? Royale with cheese. What did they call it? Big Mac.
Big Mac's a Big Mac. They just call it Le Big Mac.
Le Big Mac? What do they call a Whopper?
I don't know. I didn't go into a Burger King. But you know what they put on French fries in Holland instead of ketchup?
What?
Mayonnaise!
God damn.
I seen him do it. And I don't mean a little bit on the side of the plate. They fucking drown a minute.
Okay. That's enough. Thank you, Mr. Bane, for your time.
Actually, I think... Can I get you one more? I think I can do this again.
No, that's all right. We're a little short on time today.
Like I said, I was prepared for Jules.
Once again, sir, thank you for your time.
Okay, well, do you have my headshots? Can I leave an extra headshot
right here? We have your headshot, sir. We don't need an extra.
Okay, so I'll call you.
No, actually, we'll call you, sir.
So my agents will call you?
No, we'll call you, sir.
Okay, well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Please leave.
Can you imagine two sweet-ass dudes like us in that car traveling through the desert across America. Wouldn't it look so fucking cool? We would go places and park the car where we know we look cool, hang out smoking cigarettes, leaning against the car, looking cool, and let people look at us. We could get fucking trashed on drugs in the middle of nowhere and drive 150 miles an hour naked down the freeway and hang out the windows shooting shotguns at freeway signs and fucking historical landmarks and fucking jackrabbits. Dude, we could make some jackrabbit jerky and jackrabbit shoulder pads for our new leather jackets. Dude. You're Lord Humongous. Dude, you are fucking Lord Humongous. You are Lord fucking Humongous. The master of fire. The king of the wasteland. Lord Humongous doesn't get cheated on by some stupid bitch. Lord Humongous doesn't say, was it good for you? He doesn't say, who called or where were you last night? He doesn't leave the fucking gang when he falls in love. Nobody fucking tells Lord Humongous what to do. Lord Humongous fights when he wants to fight and fucks when he wants to fuck. And when all else fails, he drives straight into the fucking tanker. The thing is that Lord Humongous dominates his women and they fucking love him for it. Seriously. We should get out of here. We should get away from all this shit. Make new friends and meet people and stuff and like...
Aiden, I fucked up. I fucked up.
Come on, you little fuck. It's okay that it hurts. Okay? You're not the only one who fucked up. Okay, you're getting ready to start your new life as Lord Humongous.